already.
Season 41, The Monster.
We're all scared. We're all scared.
You've heard it here first. I am joined by Matt the Beard Bischoff, the War Dog, but most importantly, Victoria. Holy moly.
Oh, trust me, Victoria. You don't know how many times on the podcast Johnny has like goo goo gaga over you.
We actually
how good I look all the time.
We actually had a question on the patron Q&A. What survivor that you haven't met yet would you like to meet more than any other? And I was just like, I don't know. And Matt's like, Victoria. And I was like, oh yeah.
Well, you guys haven't met yet, huh? Yeah, but Giant. He doesn't go up to the Northeast. He's afraid of that shit.
I was gonna say, come down to Wendell's premiere party.
I'm having my own premiere party at Play Louisville in Louisville, Kentucky. Get your tickets at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. And October 6th, I'll be in Durham, North Carolina, at the Dirty Bowl Brewery. And so, get your tickets for that. So,
That's the ugly shirt you got, my man.
It is the best shirt. That's available at johnnyfairplay.com. But enough plugs. Let's talk season 41. All right. What is the monster? Can we please what?
It's Jeff and his bad ideas.
I am guessing that based on like there were updates of the weather while they were filming 41 because, you know, we're coming out of the quarantine and lockdown. They get there and supposedly it's just nightmare weather, nightmare weather, nightmare weather. Ooh. Is the weather the monster?
Nah.
They wouldn't have known that. You think they themed after it filmed?
Yeah, I think after the fact, you just like, you know, the monster. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I don't know. That's just my guess.
There's got to be some cheesy fucking thing. We've seen statues of Boston Rob and Sandra Diaz Twine.
So there's a monster statue?
Skyland or whatever was the worst one.
Maybe it's like the fucking the smoke monster in Lost or something. I don't know. All I know is what I have seen, one of the promos that I've seen that I think is actually pretty cool is getting the viewer involved by showing them
the game within the game.
Yeah, like getting like kids where they can solve a puzzle. So that's like kind of like interaction and shit.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to hate that.
I don't think it's going to be for us viewing, I don't think it's going to be a bothersome thing. Yeah. I just hope that after so much time has passed since we've seen a survivor, us that have actually played the game are excited to see a season, and just fans of the show, casual fans, people that listen to podcasts, are excited about 41. And there's
and as No Hype Network, remember when they called it a season Ghost Island? There were no ghosts.
That's right.
There were no ghosts on that
season. But they did make it cheesy.
They did. Now I want to ask you guys, so we're going into a new era of Survivor. There's no like Survivor Redemption Island. It's just Survivor 41. We have the 50% casting people of color,
40%.
Right?
40%, 41, and 42. It goes to 50% starting with 43.
Okay, we have that at play, and then we also have a shorter game. So, War Dog, I want to ask you, what do you think, 39 days down to whatever 26. It is, 26 days, what are your thoughts on that as the game of Survivor, good or bad?
Well, I think... At first, I think it was part of it was logistically, right? Because they probably had to put everybody in quarantine for like a week or two before pregame because of COVID.
Yeah, right.
And then I think they just thought about, I think one thing, going to the Survivor 41, I kind of love it because now sometimes they used to overdo these themes, right? You know, heroes, healers, hustlers, and Ghost Island and Island of the Idols. And then sometimes the themes weigh too much in the show. I get that me and Vic came from a season where the theme was actually a big part of the show that we didn't even know about, but at least some of the things that they just try to push it, the narrative too much. That's good. And I think that they said that they're not going to have much or any kind of food rations, right?
That's what it sounded like.
My prediction about the monster is I think Jeff said something about this season more than ever, there's going to be a lot more risk and reward and decisions. So the monster could be like this advantage that maybe somebody gets at every challenge or something, where the monster is kind of like, maybe it's a little Big Brother-esque where you have like to really weigh these decisions. It's not like where it's actually a real decision you got to make that could really backfire on you. And by doing it, maybe you've unleashed, you know, this so-called monster. But I don't know. I could be just fucking guessing that.
I love the fact that you're guessing, because like, I have no fucking clue what the monster is. And I hope it's just not some stupid, cheesy thing that ends up being like a theme that we see, like Johnny was saying, Ghost Island, for example. We the concept was cool. Let's bring back these like relics of old seasons.
I thought it was actual ghosts, so I was really disappointed.
but a lot of time, like you know, once the merge happens or a tribe swap, the fucking
episode four, whatever theme it is, they tap out after four episodes,
right?
So right. I mean, so as far as the 26-day season for me, I just think like, I mean, we've all played the game. You have a day with a challenge. You have you have a reward challenge, and then the next day you have immunity challenge and tribal, and then the next day is fucking nothing. And on those off days, we do nothing. The real game of Survivor is fucking boredom. You're just sitting there like, oh, today fucking sucks. Yeah. And I think they're just doing like, no, they're not having that off day. So I think it's the same fucking game as we saw before.
I think that makes it so much easier for them, though. Like,
yeah.
The starvation is so much shorter. It was only on day 31 that I'm really like blacking out when I stand up. They're not going to make it that far. Mm-hmm. And like to not, those off days were the worst. The off days were the days where I'm like, I need to fucking get out of here. Like the days you do nothing were the days that you were dead. So like, I feel like it's a mentally easier game, and it's going to be physically easier unless this rain really ruins them.
But I love the mental anguish that people have in the game. Like that's half the battle.
Yeah. So it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be boring to watch because it's going to be easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, I mean,
the rain, the odd seasons get the rain in Fiji.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe the rain will make them all.
It can be really rough on the rain. Who knows?
But the thing is, like, for me, when I played, it's like I'm leaving my wife and my kids, right? So if you have a cast member that's like leaving children, for example, it's a lot harder when it's a long period of time versus someone that's single. So shorter the game, you're right. It's like the mental anguish is not as bad. And I'm wondering if COVID was the
quarantine, though, Matt. They've been quarantined. They're actually gone. They're going the same amount of days we would be going.
Right, right. And then so there's obviously the finale, Johnny, you were saying, is they don't want to risk having to do a Zoom finale. So
but they didn't want to risk doing a Zoom presentation of the winner. So they did the final vote, and they announced the winner there, just out of fear that we could possibly be in another quarantine.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So let's.
But at the same time, we all knew who won our season when we left our season.
Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, did you guys have a wrap party after you finished filming?
Kind of. Yeah.
Sort of. But we didn't know who won until we got back on the boat. Right. We were asking we figured on the boat. Vic, remember?
I'm trying to remember. Me and you were the only ones who asked. That's why we found out.
Who asked anybody? Well, I was like asking.
Yeah, I mean, like on the boat, like the boat after the wrap party or the boat after the vote?
The boat after the wrap party. But they came
We all talked at the wrap party.
I think a couple one of the producers was pretty fucking drunk, and like somebody was spilling some shit, and then I heard like, all right, get the contestants out of there. Yeah, they rolled out pretty fast.
I made sure to ask everyone because Gavin was like my actual friend, and I'm like, I don't want this kid going home thinking he won $1 million if he didn't. So I was like, I got to find out. So I told him, I was like, you didn't win. I don't want you to wait this whole time to find out.
Oh my God.
How did he take it?
Not well.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine.
But he's
only won
for 6 months thinking you're a millionaire and then not.
Oh, yeah. No, you're a good friend, Victoria. I mean, you're a good friend with shitty news, but you're a good friend.
Yeah.
Well, but before we get into the cast, I just want to say, War Dog, Like, this is the first time you and I are like communicating. I think maybe, Johnny, you were doing like a live event where I was. Yes. But dude, the fact that you're on the pod, I love it so much because Johnny, when we first started watching your season, Johnny was shitting on you so bad. And I was like, you know, I'm the Mr. Nice guy. I'm like, fuck this War Dog dude's gonna fucking think Fairplay's the biggest cock on the planet. But I love the fact that you guys met, hung out at a live event out in LA or something, and all is good. Because it's fucking hilarious. And Johnny's in love with you, Vic.
Pizza. I'll be right back.
Oh, that's fine.
No, War Dog won me. Like, War Dog and I, we talk. I talk with War Dog more than most survivors.
I know you do.
It's like I lost life's lottery, and
he asked for like a mirror selfie. So I send him to him once in a while. He behaves.
Yeah, but, I mean, like you think like you know, it's just like, oh man, if you know, if only you know, Burton would talk to me more often, or you know, no, I get War Dog by choice, and now we our love of wrestling it transcends hate. It's pretty amazing. So when he told me like one of his favorite, you know, matches and angles in wrestling, I'm just like, fuck, that's like one of my favorite angles. And
oh yeah, because Johnny Fairplay, you wanted to hate War Dog so bad because Johnny Fairplay. Sure. But the fact that, but you guys are fucking like in love with each other now.
But this is a wrestling inspired shirt that, you know, I'm shitting on War Dog, but War Dog got it, you know, because that's what Terry Funk made for Dusty Rhodes. He made a Dusty Sucks Egg shirt. War Dog got it. And it's just like, oh, like I think that kind of, you know, mended the bridge there.
It did. But
the romance no one asked for.
No
one.
So I mean, let's get.
It's better than Rick and Gavin, right?
I love it.
Than Rick Chris and his paychecks.
All right.
So let's get into this cast, Fairplay.
All right, here we go. Let me start with our first one. Give me one second.
So it's Liana Wallace.
Well, that's not how you do this.
I know. You're going to put a fucking graphic up on the screen. And Johnny Fairplay's got Big Brother up in the corner. See that? Fix that shit. Okay. Liana Wallace, 20 years old, Washington, D.C., college student. You know, Liana, it says in her bio, she's used to being underestimated for her age. She's going to be one of the youngest survivors on season 41. She grew up as one of the youngest of three in her household. She claims she is a lifelong fan of Survivor, which I think is pretty badass.
I don't think she is a lifelong fan of Survivor.
I mean, she was, the first season 21 years ago. I mean, I guess, whenever you remember it. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, because she claims she wants to play like Tony and Elaine. And I'm just like, and she hated Tony as a viewer. And I'm just like, okay.
Tony as a viewer. I played Survivor. I love Tony as just a Survivor fan.
Yeah,
I love fucking Tony. Yeah. In general
entertainment. Yeah,
yeah. She hated him as a viewer, and I think there's just some recency bias with what you. I mean, like I love Elaine. I think Elaine's great, but like if you're like, who would you play like? I'm not mentioning Elaine.
Yeah.
That sounds like someone that saw the last two seasons of Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately,
like if you're naming those two people, like out of there's been 600 of us, just like, you know, when you watch me out, you're going to think Elaine and Tony is just like, really? All right.
Well, she's young and I get it. She's kind of going toward a newer season. And these are always questions, you guys, like, when I went through Survivor casting and they were asking me these questions, I believe they were asking me this shit when I was out in LA before they sent us location. Right. And they're like, who would you like? And it's just like, fuck, you're kind of like nervous.
I answered a lot of those. I was like, I don't remember.
Yeah. You're like nervous and you're put on the spot and you're like, fuck, I'm a fan. But so I was like, Lex Vandenberg, you know, as first person that popped in my head. And so I think
you didn't say Tommy Sheehan.
Right. So I think that she's looking at, she's obviously very fucking young, 20 years old. I mean, I have a 14-year-old son going into freshman year. In a blink of an eye, they're going to be 20. So a 20-year-old person playing Survivor is very fucking young. I really do not think someone this young has any chance of going really deep into the game of Survivor.
I agree.
Let me say, before I even dive into Liana, Fair Play asked me, he was like, we're going to do one tribe today. And I specifically said, I want to do this fucking tribe right here.
Yes.
Because I look at this tribe, and on paper, it is the hot mess tribe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No and, chance.
And
no
being, chance. A member, being a member of Manu, which is one of the most hot mess tribes in existence, I can spot a hot mess tribe.
Yeah.
These bios, these personalities clash.
Oh, yes.
Like, completely.
So, yeah.
So, first off, I think this is going to be the tribe, at least while they're going to be heavy on the TV the first few episodes.
Yep.
And we're just going to love these characters, all right? And we're going to love the conflict. And I'll say this. The nice thing I want to say about Liana, she seems to be somebody 20 years old. Her bio is very inspiring. Her accomplishments, her love for AOC, her goal of representing women of color.
AOC was a different
one. Yeah, AOC's not her.
Oh, AOC's not her?
But that's, I think she's going to be friends with that girl, though, for sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're going to be friends.
Oh, no, she was Misty Copeland, right?
Yeah.
So you know, and a major, you know, black ballerina in a white ballerina dominated.
I kind of wonder, that's so fucking inspiring. Like, did you go on the show to inspire people, or did you go on the show because it's your lifelong dream to play this show?
Mm-hmm. But that's my thing. So like you put all that in your bio, and then you say you want to play like Tony.
Yeah. See,
my problem is that you're 20 years old, right? So you can't fake the funk that well at that age.
No. Nope.
So if this is who you are, if this is somebody that you're happy about your accomplishment right now, you're killing it at school, you're making your family proud, then how are you gonna flip the switch and play a Tony game? That's not you.
Yeah.
And right away, I think you've already lost sight of why what could make you good in this game. And that's not going to, I think that's just going to be like, and then mix it with Elaine. How do you mix Tony with Elaine?
I mean,
and no one can ever emulate Tony's game. That's B. His game on paper is fucking terrible and doesn't make any sense. And logically would never work again. So,
yeah. So, no. And I mean, I don't know. There's a lot going on here. And getting back to your point, Victoria, you know, like does she want to go to be a positive role model to send a message if that's why she's going there, or is she going there to win $1 million?
Right.
I can tell you for me, and I don't think I'm talking out of church, I think you would all agree with me 100%. If you ain't going out there to win that fucking $1 million, go fuck yourself. We're fucking it. This ain't like we just did coverage of the challenge. They're in one of the most beautiful houses you've ever seen. They're getting fed fucking as many fucking meals as they want to eat. They're going to a fucking club every third night, fucking partying and dancing and drinking. We are starving and sleeping on fucking sand and fucking sticks and fucking dirt and fucking rocks, and it fucking sucks. I mean, God bless you for trying to do something positive, but everyone else there is there for $1 million fucking, and I'm getting rid of somebody that's there for a fucking that's not there for that, because this shit ain't fucking fun. So go on Big Brother and do that, and I'll support you,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
but not Survivor.
And I know she got kind of a bad rap, but honestly, I kind of loved Missy's game from 39. And here's somebody who knew what she was going out the island for. She was going out to win for $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and she swung.
That's everybody. That's
swung hard.
Everyone that's done.
She played within her role.
Yeah.
And I just think that if you're 20 years old, you know, an accomplished student, Tony is not your role. That's just not your role.
Yeah, I mean,
Elaine's not your role either. Elaine is a certain archetype.
Doesn't
that
know what she was cast as.
Yeah,
like she was cast as that.
Like Ethan Zahn on Survivor Africa has done some of the most amazing things that any survivor's ever done post Survivor. I mean, you know, he started grassroots soccer promoting AIDS awareness in Africa. You know, he's one of the faces of Stand Up to Cancer. I mean, he's just an amazing individual. He's a scumbag in real life, and I love him, and that's why we're friends. So, but he's accomplished these amazing things, and he's a hero. I mean, he's legitimately here. He's fought death twice and won, and he's an incredible person. But Ethan didn't play Survivor Africa to do that. That happened after the fact. He went to play Survivor Africa to win $1 million and nothing else.
I mean, I think that her saying she wants to play like Tony is simply put on the spot in LA after her casting deal. Tony's fresh on her mind. To me, Tony is one of the greatest Survivor players that has ever played the game. I don't consider myself I'm gonna play like Tony.
I would guess Tony would tell you don't play like Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time he played, fucking badass. Second time, third time's a charm. But I giving Liana the benefit of the doubt, she's a cute girl. She seems super cool, has got good morals and shit going into the game. I just think she's young, and that is why we're kind of seeing the bio that we're seeing. And we're just looking. So people watching this, I have not seen a video interview at all. I went to parade.com or whatever and printed off this shit today. That's what I'm going off of. And I believe that's what all four of us are going off of.
So, I went by Entertainment Weekly because my man Dalton Ross did that. I don't know what your parade shit.
Well, whatever you fucking sent me for a
play. It's Entertainment Weekly, not Parade. Oh, okay. Jeez. My God.
I printed this shit off. Look.
Look at that. Beard printing it off.
There we go.
Her answer as to why she thinks she could win, though, it also just brings right back to the point of, like, what are you here for? Because that's where you should say all the reasons you are good to win. Yeah. And she made it into a thing, like, can win. Like, we know that, but why are you gonna win?
Yeah. So and people like I get asked all the time, they're just like, you know, what do I do on my audition tape? And you know, I was a recruit, so I have no fucking idea. So I just called casting. I was just like, hey, can I ask you guys a question? They're like, fair play, we don't know when Legends is, stop calling. I'm like, no, it's not about me for the first time. And I was like, people ask me, like, what are you guys looking for? They're like, in your audition tape, we want to hear the words, I want the $1 million. If you don't say those words, we're going to the next fucking tape. We don't want to hear that you're good. You'll be good TV. We don't want to hear all that. You don't know that. We want to hear that you want $1 million. And if you want to follow up, how $1 million will change your life. That's what they want to hear in casting. That's what I was told. So
I don't care what you do with it.
I don't care what you do with it either.
I don't care about that either, but I'm just saying what, you know, but like this, you know, I'm not hearing the $1 million. Mm-hmm. When I'm sitting there and 14, like a tropical storm that later becomes a hurricane after it passes Panama. And I'm just like, okay, this is literally the worst day of my fucking life. I'm not thinking about fucking being somebody's hero. I'm thinking, God bless America. There better be $1 million at the end of this shit. This shit sucks.
Well, I don't even think she's the worst one on the tribe. I don't even think.
I don't either.
Oh, we'll get there.
We got some. But
she's got
some.
A good chance of doing well. This is everyone. You know?
Listen. There is a little bit of Matt Singh quality of this tribe where whoever survives the impending wreckage, they can go deep in the game because the other two tribes will have it'll be a battle between them. And they'll be like the swing vote. So she could fall through the cracks initially, then make a move later in the game. But there's going to be havoc on this tribe. Like half these people are going to be out by the fourth episode. So I don't know if she's going to be one of them. It really depends on the clashing dynamics between them.
Yeah.
One last thing about her. God bless you for mentioning bust a can of biscuits, Elaine. I love Elaine. So if that's your game, go for it. That, so I think Elaine's a great player and a great friend. So there you go. All right, next up. Oh, sorry, what was that, Matt?
I don't. Oh, go ahead. Oh. No, I just said she's very sweet, Elaine.
Yeah, she's great. Boom. Is it Kiwi?
I believe it's. I'll just call her Evie Jagoda.
Okay.
28 years old, PhD student, and I'll just start off here. So, when I first, let me find, I'm old school. I print off this shit. So I looked at her bio and I noticed that her bio is like 5 times longer than anyone else's.
I was going to mention it if you didn't.
Yeah, Victoria. So like, there's one thing. It's like, I get it. You're stoked to be on Survivor. You want to prove that, like, I'm a fan. I know what's going on. I'm going to give these long-winded answers so I have, like, more coverage on Entertainment Weekly or whatever media outlet I'm on.
Well, she's stuck in quarantine. She's just like, look, I'm stuck in quarantine. There's nothing to fucking do. I can either fucking write a bunch of shit so people know about a bunch of shit about me, or I can fucking write, you know, 4 fucking sentences, and you know, it's just like, what else am I gonna do with my time?
4-second route. So this, no.
Yeah. No, this is not acceptable.
But this is fucking like eight books of Harry Potter right here.
She wrote a thesis.
She did, and I don't mean to be a fucking dick, but as I printed off, I hit like file print, and it's like 20 pages of her bio. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't want to read this shit. I gotta get print. But she's 28, and when I see her pet peeves, you know, she's extroverted, she's enthusiastic, she's smart, right? She's confident, whatever, that's cool. But she's like, her pet peeves are men. Not all men, but like, you know, whatever she said, mansplainers, anything that drives me insane.
But she's no.
I deal
like,
a lot
me
of...
Me too. I hate men too, but that was not going to be in my Survivor bio. Like,
yeah, but I feel like it was everything I read in her bio... is like, I'm down with it. Like, you're standing for a cause. You want to be the first queer woman to win Survivor. You dated men for a while and then realized when you went to Budapest, your boyfriend said, pronounced it a different way. And you were like, I'm going to break up with you because you're pretentious and you're a fucking dick. But when I'm reading the bio, I'm just like, God, dude, like, I watched Survivor to watch gameplay and to get away from real life and all the crazy bullshit that we deal with, because we're dealing with race and we're dealing with gay and trans rights and we're dealing with fucking COVID masks and vaccines and shit. And I'm just kind of like, God, I really fucking hope that we're not going to deal with a season like when we saw you know, Dan Spilo's season, and he's got this, like, there's like a race fucking war on one episode, and then the next episode's like a touchy-feely thing, and it gets really uncomfortable. And we were podcasting about it. I'm like, I fucking hate podcasting about this shit. I want to fucking see Survivor, which I've been watching since day fucking one.
Not what we're watching for. We all believe in the causes, but it's not why we're watching.
That's exactly right. So
we're watching to escape.
I feel as I'm reading Evie's bio, that it's so over the top trying to push an agenda. And I'm just really hoping that if she goes out there and she's on a tribe, like War Dog was saying, man, we're going to deal with a clusterfuck, because if she's like, hates some fucking like manly man guy, that's
he's going to
dick,
hate the neurosurgeon.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We'll get to Dr. Death in a bit, but yeah,
Dr. Death will be addressed.
But no. What my original thought on her was, man, like, I think she probably is really smart, really loves the game, but I'm really hoping it just doesn't become every confessional about
her. She was smart, she'd just go on Survivor, be a really dope Survivor player, then use the platform she gets to talk about this cause.
Right. I agree.
I'm under the impression it's Evie.
Evie. Well, I think that Evie is...
Thank you, Squidman.
There's going to be a lot of controversy and turmoil around this, especially what War Dog was saying with Dr. Death, the neurosurgeon guy. This tribe is going to be a clusterfuck.
Real quick, Pandemonium states 26 days will still be longer than Chris Underwood's winning games. That's always a plus. So I'll take that.
But War Dog, what do you think? Let's get you. What do you think of Evie?
Okay, so Evie's bio. First off, it was the length of it was egregious. So yes. I couldn't read I read all of it except for the part of why she's going to win, and it was like there's one giant paragraph of like, no, you lost it because you can't win a jury that way. Final jury. Speaking that, like, it just diarrhea of the mouth. But there's a few things I want to comment that really, one, that really stuck out. One, I did love the story about the Budapest, right? Because the war dog has been iced by women for much less. Like, if some pretentious motherfucker said Budapest like 20 times during a fucking trip, then I'm glad she dumped his ass, all right?
Yeah. I'm with that.
Yep.
So that, well, that's Matt good. Bischoff mispronounces everything, so I like Matt found the right woman.
And the other thing is, like, okay, so without getting way too political here, but a little bit, I'm a staunch, big-time, if you see my Twitter, big-time liberal, but there's one little problem that has always been bothering me amongst the schism in the Liberal Party, and that's a two-person, essentially, battering ram of Bernie and AOC, because as much sometimes their heart is in the right place, they love fucking hot takes. Sometimes even when it's above the positive party, and sometimes it's attacking people in their own party to get their fucking hot takes. And if you're coming out here for fucking Survivor during the season for hot takes, like Victoria said, you're going to lose. Keep your hot takes after the season. And yeah, you might have won the internet and might have won Twitter with the pet peeve of I hate men, you know, or whatever. That's great. That's funny. But like, I hope that's not your mindset going into the game.
Yeah.
We'll bring you pizza if you hate men, though, really.
That pizza's making me hungry. I'm not going to lie.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, it depends. The question is, was this bio just a giant hot take? Like a really long hot take? If it was, then she's got, like, she's a PhD student, right? She's
I think it's actually her personality, though.
If it is, then I think she's fucking doomed.
I know plenty of people like this. I think it's her personality.
For Survivor, in life, she's fucking winning right now.
Yes.
In Survivor, she's fucked. I think she's fucked.
Yeah.
Really.
But let's talk about the who she wants to play. She wants to play like Todd Natalie, and she gives just amazing examples, you know, of how Natalie you know essentially used Jeremy until it's time to cut the head off the snake. You know, she, you know, almost wants to play like a Stephen Fishback type game, but don't make the same mistake with him, leaving JT to the end. I mean, she's saying the right things for me as a Survivor player that I want to hear. She probably says better than anyone else on this tribe.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's everything else she says that, I mean, like,
Natalie.
Like, you know, on Pearl Islands, like I said, you know, like very misogynist things, and peek behind the curtain, people. I was quoting Andy Kaufman from fucking wrestling angles in Mid-South Wrestling. That's all I was doing. Like, if you don't think that I love women and fast forward, you know, however many years later that I don't love, you know, my 4-year-old, my 13-year-old daughter, you're insane. So I love people. So
and you love Wild Vic in 2021, September 1st.
Oh, my God. Yes.
2021.
So yeah. So no, I mean, like, if you think you can win Survivor by hating half the people out there, good luck. So, and I think that's a pretty shitty view.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm supposed to be the bad guy, but
do we think Liana and Evie will
best work together?
Oh yeah, BFFs. They will have the greatest pre-jury trip pictures of anyone.
But you know what? I think they're going to be in a majority alliance on their tribe. There's only six. Yeah. I think that the two of them, they're not going to be in the majority.
They're going to be in the majority alliance of a tribe that's going to be decimated.
Yeah, yeah. But I think Liana is good for her. I think Evie, right? So I think she goes first. She's the target. She's going to be the more alpha of the two.
Yeah.
If they work together.
Well, yeah, I definitely agree with you, War Dog. Like, if I'm out there, I'm like, man, like, let's target her first. The 20-year-old, she's young. We can string her along, use her as a number potentially. She's cool. But yeah, let's fucking get this shit out of the way right now.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about the teacher.
Oh, we'll get there.
Her boots.
Here is our next victim.
Oh, fuck. You know, Vic tweeted at me earlier, I don't see any winners on here, dog. And she's right. There's no winners on this tribe.
There are no winners on this tribe. There's no way. So next is Xander Hastings, one of the two. Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, Xander Hastings, or Xander with the silent Z.
Perfect.
Xander.
Yeah, I mean, this kid, I mean, he's 21 years old. He's an app developer. I mean, looking at this dude's bio, I mean, I feel like this guy is the typical rich kid whose dad pays for him to travel the world and do cool shit, because he says his hero is his dad for sacrificing everything for me to live a cool life, basically. So hats off to you, Xander. I'm not talking shit on that. His pet peeves are laziness and cockiness.
They're not trust funds.
Dude, there's a lot of lazy motherfuckers on Survivor. And I mean, he says, which player will you play like? And he's like, you know, Jay, Joe, Devin, most likely.
I hated that answer.
I loathe that answer.
Yeah, because
they're all terrible. First of all, why would you ever want to play like them?
This is the most self-aware fucking person in the tribe. He knows what he is.
He knows what he's past that.
Early merge boot. He's self-aware at his destruction and his loss. So I respect that. He's not delusional. He's not going to win. So
he's not going to. This guy has zero chance of winning. I mean, Johnny, if Xander Hastings wins the game, you can come out. I will hand over Tessa for a date night with Johnny Fairplay.
I have never rooted on a contestant more in my entire life. As much as I wanted Vic to win until she gave up on confessionals the last three episodes, I've still. You were weak. You were hungry. You were blacking out when you were standing up.
That's true.
You were so full of piss and vinegar up to those last three. I was like, ah, give me the sound bites. You're killing me, Vic. You're still hot. I don't care. It didn't matter.
I mean, the one thing I will say, this guy's 21, and that other chick we did.
No, he's 20. Like, he's not even 21.
Okay.
It says on the article he's 21. I don't know. Your graphic might be outdated.
Oh, yeah. So my graphic says at 21 years old, he's the blah, blah, blah. So he is a little, he's 1 year older than the chick that we talked about earlier. I think that, he's comparing himself. It's like this guy's just a one-dimensional player. It's like, I'm going to be a badass in the challenges. We're going to win, like an Aussie or a this or that. Joey Amazing. He's talking nothing about the strategic game of Survivor and the social game.
Well, he doesn't call him Joey Amazing. He just calls him Joe. We have a Joey Amazing later. So I feel like he's a peripheral viewer. He saw Jay because like maybe he watched Jay because he watches the challenge. He's like, oh, let me go watch his. So and Jay on the challenge is better than Jay on Survivor. But I thought Jay on Survivor was pretty good.
Jay was the best of the people he mentioned.
Oh, he's easy. Yeah, Devin sucked.
I didn't mind. Okay, he was okay. Devin was okay.
I mean, he's not Rick Devin.
Joe Anglum has got to be. He's got to be a 0.0% chance to ever win the game. If you ever should get Vic and I, when you actually get to speak to him on the island, you realize, like, wow, you're never going to win this game. Like, and I don't think there's any, but I think he's better than Ozzy. I think he's the best all time at challenge because what he can do is he can do puzzles too.
Mm-hmm. He's crazy at challenges. It's wild to watch him do the challenges, but he is just the fucking worst. So
he's the worst. Yeah. And then forget who he is now. But this guy, Xander, he's self-aware, though. He is self-aware of what the fuck he was cast for. And he's going to get, if he's cast to be, the hot young guy that's going to be, going to be on the 2022 Zaddy calendar, then you got it, Xander. He's going to be
overexcitable. He's going to, jump in too fast, too deep. He's going to try to do something big and stupid, and he's going to get voted out early.
I don't even think he makes the Zaddy calendar.
No, I don't think he makes the Zaddy calendar either.
You know what I think he does? I think he's the one that during pre-tribal and that fucking hot mess tribe is the one doing that does the stupid face like, what happened? He's going to be lost like a fucking And he's at the confessional, like the torn confessional, like a little bitch, like, I don't know who to vote out, like everybody's so nice. And meanwhile, in reality, it's like chaotic in the camp, right? He's going to be lost. Mm-hmm. But he'll survive, though, because they'll need him for chance. For challenges,
you'll probably find the 20-year-old girl, and they'll probably be in an alliance together too. It's gonna be
no, she hates men.
No, the older one hates men, but she's going to have to go along from the ride because it's going to be her and the 20-year-old together, and then this guy's going to come in, there's three. Mm-hmm. Look at the rest of the tribe. It's got to be.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, looking at, like, so, like, we have a...
Didn't Liana say something about, like, that? Is it Liana or Evie that said about too many white men in her classes?
Yeah, no, that was Liana. Liana hates white.
She might not be feeling that white man, Xander.
Yeah, she doesn't like white men. And Evie doesn't like men, so there's a bond there. So, no, I don't feel where Xander fits into that.
Really? You don't think
so?
Well,
Xander has a tough time on this. I think this tribe was made for all the conflicts. I feel like there's a lot of people on the season that Xander could work well with. I just don't see him on this tribe.
Nope. So, and I don't see him making it to a swap or a merge.
Yeah, I don't think he has any chance. But looking at the last three contestants that we have is like 47, 35, and 51.
Well, I think he makes a merge, but he has like no alliances. He's just a sitting duck and easy target later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even think he makes a merge. But, I mean, somebody has to. We said the first two aren't. But so we'll see.
I think Liana's going to make it. I think Liana gets by because Evie gives the ultimate sacrifice of her fucking game.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
All right, well, get ready because this is the one we've been waiting for. This is the entire reason we did this. And for the record, I've only chatted with one person from the – like, I reached out. I liked this person, and I said, I know no spoilers. I don't want to know spoilers. Do not tell me anything. It doesn't help my podcast. You know, if Johnny Fair plays an idiot on my podcast, that's great. But I don't want to, like, you know, I don't sit here and say I'm the smartest survivor ever. Listen to everything I say and you'll be smarter. I'm here to entertain you. So I don't want to know. And it ruins the show. So, you know, I just want to watch the show. So anyway, so I reached out to one survivor and I said, hey, doing a cast assessment. I'm starting with the Yellow Tribe on Wednesday night. This person was pissed. Why didn't you choose my tribe? And I was like, because Dr. Death is not on your tribe. That person laughed. They understood. And so we'll be saving that Look person for our last or for 2 weeks from now. So, but here he is.
Oh my God. Matt, I only want to talk about this picture and then you can start your piece. But this has got to be one of the scariest photos I've ever seen in my fucking life. All right? Like, I would never let this man know where I live. Look at this fucking guy. He looks like, at first, I thought he looked like a Vulcan, but then I realized they're actually logical. So he's got to be a Romulan, right? They're the ones fucking emotion, right? He's a neurosurgeon. Like, and I just finished watching, which is an amazing show. I watched the documentary and the actual show of Dr. Death on Peacock.
I listened to the podcast last year prior to watching the thing on Peacock. I loved it so much.
It was amazing, but also made me realize that neurosurgeons obviously is one of the most special skilled, you know, jobs. And I'm looking at this guy. And this guy looks like a fucking killer. I'm afraid of him. All right, so Dr. Death, if you're out there, I don't want to say any more bad things about you because I'm legitimately afraid of you. But go ahead, Matt.
No, I mean, yeah, this guy, I mean, the thing I like about his hobbies. Well,
say his name. There's not everyone.
Well, David Voce or Voce.
Perfect.
I would say it's Voce, like Jim Croce. But he's a neurosurgeon, and he likes traveling, snowboarding, and eating. Well, who fucking doesn't? I love all three of those fucking hobbies as well. He's determined, passionate, and stubborn. His pet peeves, he doesn't like lazy people. You know, he says he works an insane amount of hours as a neurosurgeon, so if you're lazy, fuck you.
Take a shot. The amount of times he said neurosurgeon.
Yeah, but I was counting right now. You took my thunder. I was about to count how many times he said it. I'm going to count because I know this guy said neurosurgeon every two lines.
Oh, he does. He does because he's, you know, he's his most proud accomplishment is becoming a neurosurgeon because his father died of brain cancer. And this is a guy who has to perform surgeries on people that have pretty much if you have a brain tumor, I imagine the percentage of people that die versus not is pretty high.
Well, so, I'm curious what Dr. Death's numbers are here.
but so this guy, yeah, his eyebrows are something to be. I mean, like, wow, those are some fucking eyebrows, dude.
I get
like animated V's. Like
they are animated V's.
Like Brock from Pokemon. You know Brock from Pokemon?
I don't.
He has an eyebrow. I could introduce him to someone so he could have two of them. I think would be.
but he's trying to figure out which is harder, neurosurgery or Survivor, which I think is kind of you can't really compare the two, in my opinion. You can't compare Survivor to anything. I've done a lot of cool shit in my life. Nothing is comparable to the game of Survivor.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
He says he wants to play aggressive like Russell Hantz, but with a brilliant social game like Todd Herzog. Now,
he's a moron. what kind of neuroscientist is dumb enough to say I want to play like Russell Hantz?
He looks like him.
I have no idea. But this guy, he also mentions Joey Amazing, Malcolm, or Ozzy. But he keeps mentioning Todd Herzog, which I like Todd Herzog.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing I like about this guy. He's at least mentioning players that have played in like older seasons versus
on paper. Once again, as far as who he wants to play like, I like him and Evie the best of anyone on this tribe. However, like this guy is not Todd Herzog. There's no way this guy's Todd Herzog ever. Mm-hmm. Todd Herzog is scared of this guy.
He could be Russell Hantz, though.
He could easily be Russell Hantz.
Now, I want to ask you guys, Wardog and Vic, this guy's a neurosurgeon, which obviously he makes fuck tons of money. Is he going into this game saying that he's something other than a neurosurgeon?
Ooh.
I don't think he can.
Yeah, it's not possible.
Too much.
He
ego.
Won't make it 2 minutes without saying the words neurosurgeon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, and again, obviously, being a doctor requires a lot of mental capabilities, and being a neurosurgeon is like a doctor on steroids. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, when people are that intelligent,
weird as hell,
they're so overconfident to a flaw. I think that his answers make so much sense. Because he is a fan of Survivor. You can tell by his bio.
Yeah.
And he's picking the right players. But to think that he can execute those players, like he's got no shame. He's got no he's one of those guys who's gonna think he's playing this great game. And behind the scenes, people are looking at him like, this motherfucker is scary or crazy.
His confessionals are gonna be I'm owning this. Like, this is my, and every other confessional is just going to be like people just shaking their head going, no, like it's going to be like they're going to do it challenge style where they're going to have, you know, him saying something and then they're going to flash to like the other five people on his tribe going, no.
he's giving me David Samson vibes where he's going to go in there thinking he's the fucking, like, this is too easy. He might be the fucking first boo of the tribe.
People, they're all going to hate him. They're absolutely all going to hate him.
Like, I want to make a Dr. Death t-shirt.
Bro, hey, if man hater on this tribe, and you gave us the worst man.
Like, yes.
So, oh, yeah. David,
even if you're watching, hit me up. I'll put a shirt on.
But like you were saying, Vic, day one, Evie meets this fucking guy. Evie is fucking chaos. She's like,
I'm rooting for Evie against, well, I don't, you know, I like a villain. Is this guy a good villain?
I don't know.
No, he's going to be too arrogant.
He might be good TV.
Are you guys watching the new season of Australian Survivor, Brains versus Brawn?
No.
There's this guy, George, that is possibly the greatest bad guy of all time. I mean, like, he, like, every second is just hate deliciousness. And I'm like, do I love this? Like, because at first I'm just like, oh my God, I hate this guy. And I'm just like, I love this guy.
Well, I love to hate people. I love a good villain, but I think he's going to be like so arrogant, but also so bad at this that it's not going to be a good villain. I think he's going to just be horrendous at this game.
Is this Jean Robert?
Yes. If this was like wrestling, he's to me my favorite kind of heel because he's a heel and doesn't think he's a heel.
Yeah.
So fans actually hate him. Like, he's not a cool heel. He's not Tony.
He's a delusional heel.
You know what I'm saying? He's a delusional heel. So you're actually going to hate him. But at the end of the day, I want to remember who you are. There's been too many of us, 600 people, that I don't remember who they are. And you will remember this guy. So I'm actually rooting that Dr. Death survives a little while. Give me a few episodes of Dr. Death.
Well, I want him to survive so I can sell his fucking t-shirt. Dr. Death, if you're watching.
Who's the guy who was the professional poker player? Garrett or something?
Garrett. Yeah.
He reminds me a lot of him.
Yes. That's another good one. Another crash.
I don't even remember. I don't even remember him.
Garrett, he was the second Buddha Guardian.
Brains Beauty Braun. He was the hot guy on the Brain Tribe, wasn't he?
Yeah, he went out second. He's the one that told everybody that nobody can strategize by themselves. Everybody has to sit here.
Right. He was so overconfident but so sure of himself that he was doing a good job that he
had an idol. He had an idol too.
Yeah, I think that's going to be him.
So I want a prediction here. So when this guy gets voted out, right, and he's got his like, you know, they're doing like his like exit interview, like after the vote, right before the next CSI starts. He wants to know if neurosurgery or Survivor are harder. Do you think he's going to be like second boot? And he's like, fuck, you know, I feel like Survivor's harder than neurosurgery. What do you think he's going to say?
No chance.
He's always going to say neurosurgery is harder.
Okay. He's probably right. I mean, the Survivor's a game. It's a hard fucking game, but he's a fucking neurosurgeon. Right.
Neurosurgery is harder to spell. All right, let's get a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right
back. Also, real quick, rest in power to his father that he lost for as a young age for brain cancer. So,
yeah, props to him for going into that profession to fucking dominate.
Yeah, there's some good there too. Dr. Death, we love you
so much.
All right, we'll be right back.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry, Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
All right, and we are back. And who do we have next? Here we go. Why is he not all on? Okay, because my, I see why. Share. Boom.
Oh, my man, Eric.
All right. Matt, who we have?
So Eric Abraham, I mean, you have 50, but in my bio, I see 51. Same.
I think these are all that they're all going to be 1 year off. Maybe it's when they filmed.
Okay. So cybersecurity analyst. This guy's from his hometown, Atlanta, current resident, San Antonio. He loves basketball, golfing, and reading. He's open-minded, optimistic, and confident. That's cool. He says his pet peeves are people who have characteristics of being slothful, condescending, and psychophantic.
Such descriptors.
They are. And I, you know, he's most proud of his daughter. I love that he kind of is a scuba diver. He's not a guy that is in the ocean very much. So that's kind of his like little secret deal. He wants to play a hybrid game of Richard Hatch, Wendell Holland, but a touch of Boston Rob. That's very interesting because obviously Boston Rob and Richard Hatch, two of the most household names in Survivor history. Wendell obviously being an African-American badass friend of ours, new school player. So props to Wendell. We love Wendell.
Two out of three ain't bad. I like the Hatch and Wendell reference.
I do.
Not so much.
So this guy, I don't think this guy is probably a super fan of the game.
I think he is if he's naming Hatch.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hatch hasn't been on in forever.
Yeah, but he was number one.
Watched the first season, and then they stopped watching.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like when I tell people, if I tell a random person like, I do this podcast with this dude, Johnny Fairplay. Oh, I remember Johnny Fairplay. That's a dead grandma guy. You associate that. You associate Richard Hatch. So whether this guy's a super fan, that's to be determined. But Eric, I mean, I don't have like a bad thing to say about this guy.
Man, a few words. You didn't give us much to go on either way.
I got something for him.
Okay, give it to me, Wardog.
All right. So as soon as I saw his photo, I had a feeling. I saw his photo, and I think I shared it with Zaddy Isaiah. I think I shared his photo, and I had a comment like, this motherfucker right here is the don't mistake my kindness for weakness. without even looking at his bio. Because I saw, like, first of all, he's 50 years old. He's in great shape, right? So here's somebody that takes care of himself.
Yep.
Two, he's got this smile that just paints like this, and he says in his bio, his optimism.
He's very, very George Foreman-esque in it with his smile.
His smile. But you see that body, you know that this man, and then you find out later on, he was in the Air Force, he was in the military, but this man also won't take shit. And then you saw, then when I read the bio, it just all came to light. Because it's like, he's open-minded, optimistic, confident. I see all those things in that photo. But then I also see all the characteristics he doesn't like. And I'm telling you, he's the kind of guy that's good until somebody takes him for granted, takes his cheeriness for granted, and is condescending. Once I saw condescending in the bio, he's the kind of guy that all of a sudden can flip. And this is one of those people in every season where everything's going great until that one person disrespects him. So I don't think Eric would go out there and disrespect anybody on the island. He's a family man. He's most proud of his daughter. But at the same time, the man's a veteran, so I can relate. And I can know myself that somebody younger came along and took me for granted or disrespected me, they're going to hear it from me. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think that, again, and this might be really rough for Eric, but he got put on the wrong tribe. There's going to be conflict, and maybe he is not going to start the conflict. He might even be a third party trying to, like, mediate the conflict. But somebody's going to come at him, it's not going to end well. Yeah. It's not going to end well.
My dad was Air Force, so I saw that, and I was just like, hey, you know, I like my dad. Happy 75th birthday last week, Dad. Way to go. And I love that he loves his daughter. You know, that's his greatest accomplishment. But when I'm reading, he likes to look through a telescope. Yeah, I'd rather have the ability to get laid than look through a telescope. I have a telescope back there that's never been used because I think they're lame, and people that look through telescopes are lame, I think. So we'll see. I don't know. Of anyone on this tribe, I think he's my favorite.
Well, when looking at this tribe, you guys, so we have Xander the young, you know, dude, you have Liliana, who's younger.
Liliana.
So I think Eric, like, if these guys get dropped off on a fucking island and I'm looking at this tribe, I feel like Eric's going to be, like, taking charge of, like, hey, let's get a shelter going. Let's do this. He might be, like, the leader of the tribe.
And is Evie going to be cool with that?
I'm not worried about it. It's not Evie I worry about.
Dr. Death?
Is Tiffany, who never likes being wrong.
Oh, well, we'll get
it. I hope Tiffany is not a shelter builder, has ideas for shelter.
Tiffany has some Ream Daily qualities and not the good ones.
but I feel like this guy is going to be the one to try to initially take charge, because I really don't see the 20-year-old people or Evie being the ones to be like, okay, let's pull this bamboo and palm fronds. Let's make a shelter. Let's do this. Let's try to make a fire. I think he's going to be kind of a leader.
Him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So, I think that's what comes back to haunt him. I think that, and it's no fault of his own, I think he's going to do a lot of the work and carrying a lot of the load those first 6 days, 7 days, and then get annoyed when people are not reciprocating and they take for granted that he's gathering.
I also can't help but look at him, and in my head, even though it doesn't match anything he said, I'm just like, Francesca. I can't help but think he looks like him,
dude.
Who was the guy that was on your season, Matt? The military guy?
Yeah, you're talking Philip Shepard, someone.
No.
Yeah, Francesca.
No, the guy on Matt's tribe.
Oh, what's his name? Your guy in your tribe, Matt.
On my tribe?
Yeah, your archenemy.
Shamar. Yeah, Shamar. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get a Shamar vibe from this guy.
Shamar was a once.
My laptop's about to die.
Shamar is on a different level. I think this guy's gonna be a likable guy.
I do too. All right. So and
on this dysfunctional Yase tribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he got a bad draw.
Yeah.
Okay, and lastly,
you could have a hot mess tribe without Tiffany, right?
The seals the deal. She's exactly what we needed.
So Tiffany is here. The photo that leaked out on Inside Survivor of her and this photo are like two totally different people.
They look like two totally different people. like the other's picture. Yeah, it's. I was like, is this the same person? 47 years old, Plainville, New York, a teacher, which I think is totally cool.
I love teachers.
I do too. She says she wants to conquer the game through relatability and situationships. She likes running, talking to people, building things in the house. She's funny, loving, and loud. She hates being wrong. And she also hates half-empty water bottles and loud chewing gum. I don't think you'll have to worry about that shit on Survivor.
Do you guys put half-empty water bottles back in the fridge?
I do not, but there's half-empty water bottles everywhere in my house and my dog bowls. Like my two dogs get, I just pour them in the dog bowls.
Okay, so I don't. I put my half-empty. I mean, because they're mine, so I put them back in.
Lately, I've been trying to just drink out of this black deal, like it's like a Contigo mug, because I don't know. I drink so much water. I'm just trying to, I don't know, help the environment. That was
the ultimate mom thing for her to say. Like, her pet peeves only have to do with the things that annoy her about her kids. Her greatest accomplishment is her kids. Like, she is, like, nothing but the mom.
Yeah. Well, maybe she's excited to get away from the kids. And maybe it's going to be a whole new Tiffany.
She's going to talk about the kids nonstop.
Does she have a Karen vibe?
No, she has a Reem Bailey vibe. And I know this vibe.
Yeah, well, I mean, but doesn't Reem have kind of a Karen vibe? like that?
No,
like,
Reem's not a Karen.
No, she's not.
Reem, looking from the outside looking in, just, I mean, like, we've hung out with, I mean, you guys have lived with Reem. Matt and I have hung out. We love Reem. I mean, love Reem. But, I mean.
No, I don't know. No, she's from New York. She's not a Karen.
I mean, Reem or not, Reem, up there. We can all agree that she's not Parvati.
She definitely ain't a fucking. I mean,
okay, you're not no, Aussie. No, she's not Parvati.
She ain't an Aussie.
No offense, Tiffany, but I mean, I hate to just, you know.
Is she Colby when Colby comes back?
Maybe.
I mean, all right.
Aussie, Colby, and Parvati, not even a chance. She claims she can read people and read their energy, which is totally cool.
That's very important.
I feel like her confessionals, like you said, Vic, are going to be, you know, I'm a mom. I'm doing this for my children. They're my biggest, you know, motivation out here. I'm hoping we see like a New York attitude.
Me too.
With this chick.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's going to be more Karen attitude.
Yeah. I'm hoping she's fun.
I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised.
Look at your pants. Like, how fun they are.
She is wearing her Parvati pants.
Yes, that's true.
Like, if we got a 47-year-old single Parvati, which is now a possibility, I think she's wearing those pants.
That's true.
I just think, if you're Tiffany, who is she trying to align with? She's going to try to align with Eric? Who is she going to try to align with in this tribe right now?
I think just age-wise, people go together even more than personality. Like,
yeah, I think age.
I think it just tends to be age more than anything else.
So it's going to be her, Eric, and Dr. Death?
Yeah.
Dr. Death is going to be on his fucking own. Completely on his own. Nobody's going to be with him. But I think her and Eric, the three kids, and then Dr. Death is just there.
Yeah, I think Tiffany would be like, she's going to align with Eric, and then because she's a mom, she's going to gravitate toward the 20-year-old Xander guy.
Maybe, yeah.
Look at the commas. It was me, Julia, and Gavin, immediately friends, and then like Ron and Julie were part of our alliance with Eric. It was like they kind of went together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The older people and the younger people, despite our personalities, and then those two groups don't have a hard time coming together, the moms and the kids.
Would you sleep in the shelter next to Dr. Death, Vic?
I would sooner sleep in the fire, I think.
Yeah. See, I align with the older people, and but then I proved how immature I was. So then I was with the younger people.
Right.
So it works out bad. I'm pretty versatile.
This tribe can't survive, right? This is just like
no.
This tribe look like, as we've talked about each and every one of these people, it's a total clusterfuck because I really don't see some super, like, you know, when we see like Dominic and Wendell, like bam, alliance dominating the game. Yeah. I don't instantaneously, off the limited information we have, see anything like that with any of these players on this particular tribe.
Is Sam not paying attention? Sam.
This tribe is definitely going to the first tribal. This one.
You're not listening? No, I mean,
if two tribes go to tribal the first episode, it's this tribe.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Jeff's like, you're voting two people out. And I don't care if it's one or two tribals.
That's funny. Oh my God, dude.
I don't see any duo from this tribe running the show. And actually, honestly, the only chance, the only person on this all six of them that has maybe a chance to win this game, maybe is Eric.
Maybe.
And it's a stretch maybe.
I got to hear more about him. I could go either way.
But he's the only one that has like a chance. The other five are, I'm saying it right here, fair play. The other five are drawing dead. 0% chance to win the game.
Zero. Yeah. Oh no! I think I'm going zero across the board. However, I don't dislike
a 10% chance.
Just know this: I don't dislike this tribe.
I love this tribe.
I think our first four episodes, we're going to be talking about this tribe. We're going to be talking about how insane each episode was. We're going to say, "Oh, this is good Survivor. Welcome back. This is what we want to see: different people, different places." Personalities clash. This is great. This is going to be good TV. So, but I want.
We may lost over a battery. Listen, actually, you know what I would love? We love you, Vic. What I would love, actually, more than anything else, is this tribe somehow not finishing last and avoiding tribal council, and that drama just continue to flux to build up, and then somehow by miraculous challenges, they somehow had a majority go into swaps or merge and just watch them deconstruct with the numbers. Because they can't fucking stand each other. That's my I'm rooting for this tribe from the get-go. All right. I don't know if I need to get a yellow buff or what I gotta do. I want this tribe to succeed because they're gonna be the best television.
Oh, dude. Looking at these bios and the different pet peeves and them putting together it on one tribe, it's a beautiful thing.
It's mean, is what it is.
They purposely set these tribes up this way. They always pick one that's like, not every season, but every few seasons, like, we have a perfect combination for a shit show.
Yeah. So now this is the shit show tribe, and I'm here for it. And you know, for the record, we love everyone that's playing the game. We probably should have said that early because I'm sure that once we shit on them, they stop listening. But just know we love all you guys, and you know, and this is all for entertainment and fun. However, I want Dr. Death to be that villain that we've been waiting for years. And if he is, I will be happy. Like, are we getting a yellow buff? Is that what we're starting the season with?
You guys should get yellow buffs for you. Yeah, I think this is the tribe to root for.
What are you getting?
Well, me, I don't really buy buffs because, you know, I got my own, but no, I do that. I got your favorite black hat though from the island.
There's a stupid hat.
so Ward, I want to ask you a serious question. This is not Survivor related. So like I see a flag on your shelf up there.
Yes.
So what is that flag?
That flag was actually from I don't know if it was from Afghanistan or Iraq. Let me see. It was one of my deployments.
That's pretty awesome. So yeah. the reason I asked that, War Dog, is so my dad was in Vietnam. He died of lung cancer when I was 14. And I have in a room in my house, like a case like that of a flag that was put on his casket after he died. And so, yeah, I just was curious what that was. That flag means the world to me that I have.
Of course, we respect that. And thank you for your father for his service. So.
Yeah, right on, man. And, dude, this has been so fucking fun. It's like we talk about bucket list shit for the podcast, and, like, having you on has been super fucking awesome, man. And I appreciate it.
And let me say, and for you 41ers that are still listening right now, let me tell you a little message. This is from the War Dog here, that during season 39, they went through some drama, as you know, you both were mentioning, it was kind of even tough to podcast about it, and they went through some situations. Not only Dan, but other contestants got a lot of really bad heat from.
Oh yeah, it was disgusting across the board.
And what I noticed on there was that we have a great fraternity of alumni, but not everybody's great, or not everybody has the best intentions. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of fans turned on a lot of players on season 39. And me being fresh off of my season, I didn't like seeing that. And I saw a lot of alumni then on Twitter and everything else joining on that chorus and just stomp on some of these new players on 39. And I remember taking it to myself. I went on the Reddit boards for hours on end to defend people on Twitter. And I ended up speaking to a lot of these people that were getting trashed out in the, you know, in the survivor community, speak to them on the phone, this, that, and the other. And as much as we like to joke around like this, you won't find many more people that will have your back. All right, you're joining it, and there's nothing that irritates me more than watching somebody else try to use you as a stepping stone or whatever else they're trying to do and exploit you. So just know that we love you. You're all probably going to still suck at this game, but don't worry, the War Dog sucked too. We all sucked. But enjoy the time out there and just enjoy it, because it's gonna be a fun few months, and just enjoy the whole ride.
Yeah, whenever you're feeling bad, just watch the War Dog at the beginning of any challenge.
And watch me throw sandbags.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Does this motherfucker fair play know how to throw a fucking bag, dude? But no, in all seriousness, yeah, we're breaking down these tribes. And, man, the journey of, for me, being a fan of Survivor and then playing the game and obviously watching what people say about me, et cetera. It can be very hurtful when people are dogging you.
Yeah.
This is all fun. And,
we love at the end of the season. It was just like, hey, remember when you said this, dum-dum? Mm-hmm. That's fun for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun for me to have War Dog on here when you were like, I'm like, dude, War Dog is going to fucking kill you, fair play. And now he's doing the podcast. That's what it is. But we welcome you into the Survivor family. There's so much negativity in the world today. Having the Survivor family as part of our lives is one of the fucking coolest things ever. And we can't wait to meet all you fucking guys.
Except for Dr. Death. Event. Dr. Death, we don't want to meet Dr. Death, nor do we want to insult you. We are afraid of you, Dr. Death. But you know. Where you're at.
All right. Next week we have the Blue Tribe, right?
Blue Tribe. Okay.
Blue Tribe next week. Awesome. Well, this has been a blast. I can't. I don't think we have our winner pick yet.
Not yet.
No.
My winner pick is not on this tribe.
I have not. As I said, I've only reached out to one player, and as I said, haven't discussed anything, and so. I think that's my winner pick. And then I saw a picture of this other girl and I'm just like, holy moly, you're my pick to win my life. So we're not there on the Yellow Tribe, but stick with us next week, Blue Tribe, Green Tribe, the week after that. And until then, War Dog, thank you so much.
All right, fellas. Pleasure, my man.
Nice. All right. And here's a word from our sponsors.
Autumn is in the air. Pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new 4th generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR.
Now listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary, the girls like to dress inviting, and as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave, plus it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny. Permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream, a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast.